mince. I'm not sure, but it's all good. You ready to get in God's word? Or do we want to just close in prayer? Let's get right into it this morning. I hope you've been thinking about how do we love one another and what does love require of us. Today I want to talk about the problem with ego. There's no doubt that today in our culture, image is everything. Finish these sentences in your mind. You've got to look out for number. You got to learn to blow your own. Sometimes you got to beat your own. I've got to do what's best for. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, the passage I want to look at today says, love is not boastful or proud. John Ruskin said this, pride is at the bottom of all great mistakes. At the root of most relational problems are two things. You might want to write this down in your notes. Two things, pride and selfishness. That's where all the relationships break down, because of those two things, because of pride and because of selfishness. So I want to look at this morning the whole concept of pride, and I want us to understand what God's word says about pride. All right? So what does pride do to relationships? I want you to see this morning. Proverbs 13, verse 10 in the Good News Version says, arrogance causes nothing but trouble. So how does pride create issues in our lives? So let's look at a few of these things that I want you to see, because it produces, it provokes, it prevents, and it postpones. So let's get going, all right? Ready? Number one, it produces misunderstandings. All our differences create misunderstandings. In fact, we all have a unique perspective on life. I love the cartoon where I saw one person on one side of the other facing each other, and there was a letter or a number in the middle. It was a 6. And you can hear the caption. One said 9, one said 6. Were they both right? Yes. Do I have to illustrate it for you? The issue is perspective, right? The issue is perspective. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. Take the log out of your own eye first, and then you'll be able to see and take the speck out of your brother's eye. Have you ever heard anybody say that love is blind? Love isn't blind. Pride is blind. Because pride blinds us to our own faults. And when I have pride in my life, I can't see my own faults, so I can't help you with yours. That's why Jesus said, take the plank out of your own. Because you can't even see the plank. But you're focused in on the speck in somebody else's life. Point number two, it provokes arguments when you are full of pride. It causes sparks to fly. When egos bump up against egos, there's conflict. When I'm full of pride, I resent nothing more than pride in your life. Muhammad Ali was flying on a jet one day when he was heavyweight title champion. Can you guys shut the back door so that we can keep the cool air in here? Maybe you don't need it, but I do. The stewardess asked him to buckle up his seatbelt. He said, Superman doesn't need a seatbelt. The stewardess said to him, Superman don't need a plane either. Buckle up, chump. Galatians 5, verse 26, look what it says. Let us not be ambitious for our own reputations, for that only means making each other jealous. When Gregory Peck had first made his movies, he went to one of the exclusive restaurants in Beverly Hills, and he wanted to go into the reserved seating, and so they said it was full and that he would have to wait. His friend said to him, well, why don't you tell him who you are? His answer was classic. He said, if I have to tell him who I am, then I ain't. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, pride only breeds quarrels. I've had enough experience in ministry to know that that's exactly what takes place. And I don't know about you, but as we have been watching in the southern side of the hemisphere talk about their election in 2020 and the election that's coming in our neck of the woods in the fall, all I see is egos. Egos don't help us. And here's one. I want you to fix it in your outline, because it says produces where it does. It's really not there. It means prevent. It prevents intimacy. It prevents intimacy. That was my bad. Fear of rejection is behind most pride. That's what the real issue is. If you knew the real me, then you wouldn't like me. I'm all I've got. So we hide. We hide our faults. We hide our fears. We hide our feelings. And we put up a big front with our PR releases. How many selfies have you posted on Facebook or Instagram lately? Actually, there was an interesting, I was listening to a podcast this last week when I was up doing my training at early hours of the morning on the treadmill. And there's somebody that actually has written a book called Selfies from a Biblical Perspective. Very interesting. I'm not going to bore you with the details of it, but it was a very interesting perspective because he said most people think it's all bad. But if you are made in the image of God, now it doesn't mean you all get to go out and do selfies this afternoon. But when you understand who you are and you understand you're made in the image of God, if you're doing it for the right reason, if you're doing it because there's an emptiness in your heart, that's a different thing altogether. We play ego games with people to keep them at a distance so they won't get close. First John chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, and your note says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with each other. But if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. We cannot really love someone without being vulnerable. Humility creates intimacy. Pride destroys it. The last one is, it postpones reconciliation. Mark Twain, that great theologian, said, temper gets us into trouble, but pride keeps us there. You know, I'd have to look back at my own life and say it was my own stupidity that got me into a lot of trouble, but it was pride that kept me there. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, a man who refuses to admit his weak mistakes can never be successful, but if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Men and fathers, we have to model what it means to seek reconciliation. We need to be able to say these words, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. The Bible says if we don't do it, then we'll never be successful. Pride is amnesia of the soul. It is forgetting God because it comes in two forms. Outside the faith, it's the defiant act of dismissing God, saying there is no God. But inside the faith, it's the casual act of disregarding God. So there's no room in my life for God. You see, many of us are guilty of being a practical atheist. We profess faith, but we live in unbelief. And we shift ultimate confidence from God to ourselves. And that's why we worry. Because we don't think he has control. But I'm not prideful. Let me tell you three facts about pride. First of all, almost anything can become a source of pride. Even good things. Even good things. Not just the bad things, even good things. Secondly, pride is never more than 2 inches away from your life, even the most godly people. This quote says this, pride grows in the human heart like lard on a pig. Yeah. Number three, pride is generally invisible to those in its grip. Pride is the stealth sin slipping under our radar, pardon me. So what's the antidote to egotism? And by the way, ego stands for edging God out. When we've removed God from our life and when we're working in that ego type of part of our lives. Now, I'm not talking about having a healthy confidence. I'm not talking about having a healthy self-awareness and understanding who I am and the strengths that I have and the weaknesses that I have. I'm talking about really becoming puffed up. So how do I keep from being egotistic? Well, there's a couple things. A, accept my humanity. I need to accept my humanity. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 or 3 says, don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities. What does that mean? You mean to see yourself as God sees you, the good, the bad, sometimes the ugly. And all of us are a bundle of both strengths and weaknesses. And so many times, we think it's either or. God's either, he loves my strengths and he doesn't like my weaknesses. And so as a result of that, how can I have his favor? But it's not a matter of either or, it's both and. God understands your strengths and he understands your weaknesses. By the way, who gave them to you? God did. I promised you a little bit of what I would talk about here, about the good and the bad. Think of Jesus' followers. Peter was one of them, but yet so was Judas. Where was God in all of that? In both of them. If it wouldn't have been for Judas, Jesus wouldn't have been portrayed. He wouldn't have been sold. Wouldn't accomplish God's purposes. God is in the blessing of the both. Both your strengths and your weaknesses. Both your faith and your fear. Both your maturity and your immaturity. Your desire to please him and your inability to please him. He's there. He loves you. He's in the midst of both. A definition of humility is being realistic about your strengths and honest about your weaknesses. That's what it means to be humble. There's an emotional balance there. You know, we usually overestimate one or the other of or both. We need to accept our humanity. Humanity and humility go hand in hand. In fact, I think the words are kind of connected, aren't they? Humanity, humility. Rick Warren says, humble people are always learning because they're open to correction. How open are you to correction? That can tell me how humble you are. Or how full of pride you are. When I'm coaching people, there's two words that I do not like to hear. When I'm coaching people. You know what those two words are? Write these two down. I understand. I want to share with something new to you. Well, I've heard about it. I understand that. Those two words can sink your ship. How many times have you been given instructions and you go, I understand, I'm going to do it. And then you go to do it and you haven't got a clue what you're going to do. I used to do that an awful lot until I found out YouTube's around. I can do anything with YouTube now. Proverbs 20 verse 9 says, who can say I've kept my heart pure? I am clean without sin. None of us can. Like the story of the congressman who had just won an election. He went into this new office at the Capitol Hill and the only thing there was a desk and a telephone and he sat down. And a few minutes later he saw a reporter walk in and he thought, I better look busy. So he picked up the phone and began, Mr. President, yes, I'm glad you're able to use my plan in Desert Storm. Thank you. I knew it would work. No, you don't have to give me credit publicly. Just knowing my plan saved thousands of lives is enough. And he hangs up, looks at the man that's in his doorway, and he says, now how can I help you? The man said, well, I'm here to hook up your phone. Yeah, the fact is, being authentic is what impresses people, not boasting. Boasting doesn't impress anybody. But there is a winsomeness about someone who is transparent and open and genuine and lays the chips out on the table and says, what you see is what you get. Authenticity is extremely attractive. Being honest about your humanity is huge. If you're willing to admit it when you're all wrong, then you're all right. B. Recognize God's grace in your life. Someone has said that the self-made man usually worships their creator. We're not self-made people. If you're gonna let go of your ego, then you need to fully understand God's grace in your life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. What are you all puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you have accomplished something on your own? Everything you have, everything I have is a gift from God. That's why tithing is not a problem for me. The reason why it's not a problem for me is it's not mine. God gave it to me. Who do you think gave you your mind? Who do you think gave you your hands? Who do you think gave you your intellect? Who do you think gave you your life and give you breath even now? You see, you would have nothing, I would have nothing today if it weren't for God. Did you choose where you were born? Did you choose your parents? Did you choose your natural gifts and abilities? Did you choose to be born in Canada, for those of you that were born in Canada? God allowed these. Everything you have, everything I have, we owe to God. Amen? God deals you the cards. How you play them is up to you. Everything you own, you owe to God. Thirdly, you need to experience God's unconditional love. So what's the antidote to pride? Truckers tell us that an empty truck makes more noise on the highway than a full truck. A drum makes more noise because it's empty if it's empty on the inside. If you fill one up, it only makes half the noise. Egotism indicates an emptiness on the inside. A vain person is empty at the core of the center of his life or her life. They feel this need to make a lot of noise and boast and brag. They're empty on the inside, and the greater the void, the greater the boast. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, "May you be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, and how high God's love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves so that at last you will be filled up with God Himself." Many of you, even many of you who are Christians, have never experienced God's love. You know about it. You believe it intellectually, but you've never felt loved unconditionally from God. You go out and work and perform and try to prove yourselves on this performance rat race, trying to prove yourself worthy to yourself, to others, and to God. You don't really feel unconditionally loved by God. And when you let God fill that emptiness in your life, you no longer need to run around the world trying to validate your worth from everybody else. The most amazing truth in the world to me is the fact that God knows every single detail of my life, every motive, every thought I've ever thought, every action I've ever done, things I'm ashamed of, every single thing about my life. And yet, He loves me unconditionally. He will never love me any more than He does today. And He will never love you any more. He can't, because He's love. That's the good news. That God will love you, never love you any less than what He does already right now. No matter what you do. And He'll never love you any more, because it's unconditional. When you feel loved, when you experience God's love, you're set free from self-promotion, from the need to feel like I've got to validate my worth by having other people praise me. Look at what it says. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "The proof of God's amazing love for us is this, that while we are sinning, Christ died for us." How come I can't love my wife or my husband the way I ought to? How can I love my husband or wife the way I need to? How come I can't love my kids or my relatives or my parents or my friends the way that I need to? It may be because you don't feel loved yourself. My mentor taught me years ago, you cannot give what you do not have. It's because you're too busy posturing yourself all the time, trying to win the love and affirmation of other people, that you don't have any love to give away. And here's the biggest emptiness inside you, and there's only one person who can fill it, and that's Jesus Christ, the love of God. He's got enough to fill your emptiness and mine and everybody else's too. And when we let God fill us with His love, it overflows, and you've got enough to share with other people. Well, how come I'm having a hard time letting go of my bitterness of the past? How come I can't forgive what others have done to me? Oh, it's easy. It's because you haven't experienced God's forgiveness. You don't feel forgiveness yourself. For some of you, it's pride that is keeping you from forgiving others. It's pride that has robbed you from the joy of having great relationships. Today can be a brand new start for you. Because the Bible tells us that pride causes trouble. We know that. It turned angels into the devil. Lucifer got kicked out of heaven because of pride. That's how serious it is. But for those of us that are believers, there's even a greater issue. And that's called spiritual pride. It's a pride that says, I don't need God in my life. I can make it on my own. I don't need to ask forgiveness. I can handle my own life. I can call my own shots. I am my own God. In the movie Bonfire of the Vanities, a guy said, I'm the master of my fate. He was the bonfire of vanities. Interesting. Refusing to think that God needs to be God in your life and I don't need to depend on him and ask forgiveness, trying to be my own God, that's the worst kind of pride. That's the kind of pride that will keep you out of heaven. God is standing there saying, I love you, I love you, I love you unconditionally. And you're saying, forget you, God. I'll handle it myself. He made you. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. And I encourage you to do the smartest thing you've ever done and make the decision to stop living by ego and begin living for the Lord. Watch the joy and the peace and the meaning come into your life, fill in your life, and overflow out of your life. And all of a sudden, you've got love that you never thought you had as you day to day tap into the source of his love for you. Folks, I thought I understood what unconditional love was until I was in the lowest point of my life. Didn't even think that God was even looking at me. That's how badly I had failed him. And that I got a glimpse of the unconditional love of my Father. It's not hard to forgive because I've been forgiven much. It's not hard to love because I have been loved much. When we edge God out of our lives, we prevent him from having the ability to fill our lives with his grace and his love and his blessing and his truth so that we can love others. What does love require of me? What does love require of you? That we understand that God loves us. And because of his love for us, we can walk in humility and be dispensers of that love to other people. That's what love requires. Not that we walk in pride, not that we boast, but that we love one another because we have experienced that love. Because we have experienced that forgiveness, we can forgive other people. Amen? You don't sound convinced. Should I start again? Yeah. Let's pray together. Let me pray with you this morning. Father, I look out on these faces and I see some people who are struggling because they really don't feel loved. They're caught in the performance trap. And out of fear of rejection and insecurities, we position and posture ourselves and we do this because we forget how much you love us. And I pray that each person here this morning, 100% of us, will take these three steps and get off the ego trip and get on the God trip. Would you pray in your heart this morning, God, Father, help me to accept my humanity, to admit it that I'm not perfect, that I never will be, that I have faults and failures and things that I'm ashamed of, and I've sinned against others and against you. I admit it. I don't have a clear conscience, and I ask you to forgive me. I admit that I need forgiveness. And would you take the second step? And say, God, I want to recognize your grace, to be so grateful for what you've already done. It's already come from you. that even my life, my very life, I owe to you. I would have nothing if it weren't for you. I really have nothing to brag about because you have just been gracious to me. Even the things that I work for and earn is because you gave me the energy and the intelligence to do it. Then most of all, would you take step three? Say, I want to experience your unconditional love today. Father, help me to feel your love. You might just take a deep breath and let it out and say, I want to feel your love today and to realize you love me now as much as you ever will, that I don't have to earn it, that you love me, the good and the bad. Jesus Christ, come into my heart. And if you've never said that, then say that right now. Come into my heart today and fill me with your love. Take ego off the throne, and I put you on it. I want you to be in charge of my life. Fill me with so much love that it overflows, and I've got to love the people around me and to give it away. And as much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life and fill me with your love. If you prayed that prayer, I believe God heard you, and he's going to make a difference in your life as you seek to understand who he really is. Father, thank you for your goodness, for your word to us today. May we respond with courage. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing.